Our sermon text this morning is Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. In your house Bible, it's on page 838. Mark chapter 3, 31 to 35. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mothers and brothers. And whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother."
Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. We come to you now, and we entreat you, asking that your Spirit would move here and work here in us. We know that your Holy Spirit, Father, we don't know where it goes, like the wind, where it might blow this way or that way. We do ask that it would come and work in our hearts just now, that as we hear the words from your Son about your Son, the Spirit would help us see and hear, help us feel, help us have eyes that can see, help us have hearts that can hear. And we are so weak, and we are often tired, our strength is easily exhausted, our minds get easily confused. Our hopes easily get misplaced. Would you help adjust our hearts and our minds to you, to your will? We love you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. My hope would be that you are able to enjoy family this Christmas. My hope would be that you're able to enjoy family this Christmas. Family is what Christmas is about, right? That's what Christmas is about, right? It's not a trick question. Some of you are like, "I don't know how to answer this." I'm sure your hearts all broke, as mine did. In that fateful moment years ago when we first heard Walter Hobbs look across the conference room table and yell at his anger to his son, Buddy, the elf, "I don't care where you go. I don't care that you're an elf. I don't care that you're crazy. I don't care that you're my son. Get out of my life now." I went to get a haircut this week, and someone asked me what my favorite Christmas movie was, and it's not Elf. But when I said it was a film called Joyeux Noël, they were like, "Good, I'm at least glad you didn't say Elf." And I was like, "What would you have done if I did say that was my favorite Christmas movie?" I mean, that's the heart of the movie Elf. It's about Christmas, it's about Santa, but it's really about family. Who's a son, and what is a son, and what does it mean to be a part of a family? One of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, Home Alone, is about family. It's about family. At the very beginning of the film, I'm not giving anything away here because this is from the 90s. Kevin is, or is it from the 80s? It could have been from the 80s, I don't know. Definitely from the 1900s, as my son would say. Kevin McAllister is so frustrated with his family, no one notices him, no one cares about him. And so he has this wish that his family would disappear. And one of the greatest lines in all film history, he wakes up, walks around the house, looks into the camera and says, "I made my family disappear." He got what he wanted, right? But no, the film goes on. and his heart has changed. And he tells a fake Santa on a street. By the way, if you were to ask me, I've seen this go around this week. I don't think Home Alone is a Christian film, but we can have that conversation another day. He goes to fake Santa and says, "I know you're not the real Santa, but I know you work for the real Santa. I know you work for him. So if you could just pass on a message, I don't want any Christmas presents this year. I just want my family back." I don't know about you, but I have very fond memories of family during Christmas. My personal family, more so with my extended family, like my cousins, and a house filled with people, and the smell of the food, and the amount of presents for 30-something people in one home, all sharing, and my stocking with my name on it lined up in my grandmother's hallway. I didn't plan to remember that just now. I could go on the romantic experiences I think I've had growing up with my family during the season. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people here who have the exact opposite. Holidays are a painful memory. Or there's just the pain of never having that family that you wanted. I think both families are in trouble of missing the greatest family experience, of missing this Christmas season, enjoying the family of Christ, an eternal, unbreakable family. My hope today would be that you would, so to speak, come inside, join in doing God's will, and enjoy being the family of Christ. Metaphorically speaking, come inside, as we're going to see in our passage today. Join in doing God's will, and so enjoy being a part of the family of Christ. What a shame to go through Christmas, or life, or eternity with no family. Come inside first and sit around Jesus. I think it's the first thing that this passage is getting us to, that we might enjoy family, is to come inside and sit around Jesus. Look at our passage, Mark chapter 4, which Marilyn read, verse 31 to 34. And I want you to see a few comparisons in this passage, how this passage is comparing two people in this text, in verse 31 through 34. But it's also comparing people in this passage to a previous passage in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And I want to just show you those comparisons and see how it's calling us, so to speak, to have a certain relationship with Jesus that in this passage is pictured as coming inside to sit around Him. Look at the comparison of those who are on the outside and those who are on the inside in this passage. It's mentioned twice. Read our passage again, just looking for that comparison. "And His mothers and His brothers came, and standing outside..." So just picture them standing outside. "They sent to him and called him. And a crowd, a group, was sitting around him. And they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers, they are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers.'" They were standing outside, but there is family sitting inside. They were calling on Jesus. They were sending for him. The family on the inside was sitting, presumably listening. They sent for him. The inside family was following him. You want to be a part of the family of Christ, whatever that means to you at this moment, it means coming inside to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. To put yourself in a position of, He is God's Son, He is the Lord, I'm going to come in and sit down and listen to Him. Go back to a passage from a few weeks ago, verses 13 and 14. in Mark 3 when Jesus called the apostles. If you're interested in this, there is a chiastic structure in chapter 3, verse 13 through the end of the chapter. And regretfully, to my shame, because I can find a chiasm anywhere in the Bible, even where they don't exist, I saw it this morning, a little too late, but it is here, and so I'm going to throw this in there. Look in chapter 13. I think the author, Mark, has structured this section so that we compare those who were outside, standing outside, calling Jesus to Jesus' calling of the apostles. And I wish I had more time to go about this later. You can come talk to me after. I'd love to go through it if you're interested or send you something. But look what he says. Look what the author of Mark says in verse 13, 14. Look for similar words. And he went up to the mountain and he called Jesus, that is, he called, that word is in our passage for today, kaleo, to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. They, so to speak, came from the outside to the inside. They came to him. And he appointed, created, made the 12, whom he also named apostles. Now it's interesting. I have some work left to do in the Greek, I think, before we even get out of this chapter from my own mind. But if I'm correct, I think the word apostle in this passage actually comes, and I know there's people here who can help me, like Jay. The word actually comes from send. The similar word there, look what he says in verse 14, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and that he might send apostelio. Send them out to preach, which is the exact word they used when they called on Jesus, apostelio. They sent for Jesus, those standing outside, they sent for him, apostelio, they dispatched him. They called him, you need to come to us now. Verse 31, those standing outside, they called for him. Same word for Jesus calling his apostles in verse 13. That is to call someone out, to summon them. He summoned the apostles with his authority. You guys come here to me, up to the mountain, into my presence, and come and be with me and follow me. Now they are coming to Jesus outside and saying, Jesus, we need you to come with us now. Jesus, you need to come out here. And look in verse 32, important for this passage. They are outside, they said, seeking you. They're not just playing hide and seek with Jesus, okay? They want something. And listen to these words very carefully. They have a will for Jesus, a desire for Jesus. They want him to do something, so they are calling him to make that known. They're seeking him. They have a desire, a plan, is what that word intends. Now, I think it's important to see they, outside of the home of Jesus where he is, are trying to do to Jesus what Jesus did to the 12. This is part of the chiastic structure in Mark 3, 13 through the end. They're trying to do to Jesus what Jesus did to the 12. Summon him, call him, and get him to do their will. Come out here. We need to talk to you about what should be going on, what you should be doing. Listen, the direction, the door into the family of Christ. You know, when I was growing up, I could play memories all day. I've shared this before, and you guys, I might remember it, but when I was growing up, we would go to my grandmother's house for Christmas, and the back porch was the front, was kind of the door that we all went in. No one ever went in the front door. You didn't know us. You're from somewhere else if you came to our front door. Go to my grandmother's back door. That's where you always went in. You went in, and on the washer and dryer was where all the pies and the cookies were as soon as you walked in. It's not fair. It's just how it happens. That's how it happened. Then you have to walk through the kitchen to see. But on the back door, you know, there's kind of a half window. And my grandmother would take strips of paper, like her notepaper, and she would write everyone's name that she knew was coming this year. Welcome, Nathan. Glad to see you, Travis. Merry Christmas, Sherry. And it would just be strips of paper on the window. And see, sure enough, so you would get there and you would just look to make sure your name was on there. And you go in knowing you're home. What's the door? Where's the door to the family of God, to Christ's family? It is turning from your own will and summoning Jesus and running your life and ruling your life and hoping, wishing, demanding that Jesus would fit in your life and coming inside and sitting at His feet and saying, "You are Lord. Your Father, God, is my God. I'm going to come and sit and I'm going to listen to you." That's family. Come inside and sit and listen to the Son. Let me just ask you, is your heart tender toward Jesus and His words in your life? Do you want to hear from Him? Do you want to give directives in your life, or do you want to receive instruction from Him? Do you love His word? Does your heart ache for Him? What He said and what he did. That's the first step to be family, because there's an outside family, but apparently there's an inside family who is His family, and they're the ones who are sitting inside at His feet. To be a part of the family of God is to come to God's Son and sit and listen. There's a danger here that it's possible for Jesus' own mother, brothers, and family to not be a part of Jesus' family. Because they didn't want to listen to Him. They didn't want to submit to Him. They wanted Him to submit to them. And just think about your nativity scene when you go home today. Look at it and stare at it and think about this passage. That mother, that Mary, here she is, outside, saying, "Jesus, let's go. Come here." And Jesus says, "Actually, my family is right here. The ones who are sitting here inside, listening to me. They're here. Here they are, right here." Well, who's the family of Christ? And are you the family of Christ? And don't you know there's hope that if you're not, you could be. You can be. If you'll come inside, if you'll come to Jesus and sit at His feet and say, "You're the Lord. You're God's Son. I want to listen to You." What a tragedy to go through Christmas and adore the idea of the scene of Christmas, but make the same presumptive mistake that family would in this moment. To mistake the way that they relate to Jesus. If you're here today and you're a Christian, just remember this is what it means to be a Christian. Not to just to do things for Jesus, not to just go to church, but to sit at the feet and listen to Jesus. Not just to adore Him as a baby in a manger, but to listen to the man in the house. Don't be so busy this Christmas season that you do the most unfamily thing. You forget to listen to Christ. You forget to listen to Him and actually adore His words and His teaching. Use this season, not as a busyness around Christ, but to listen, to come inside and listen to Him. That's what it means first, to be family. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, this is what it means to be a Christian. Not just to go to church, not just kind of do things, not just to celebrate Christmas for crying out loud, but to actually relate to Jesus in a way that says, "I'm not going to stand out here and tell Him what to do in my life and fit my plans. I'm actually going to come inside and I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen to Him. And I'm going to recognize that He is God's Son, that He is Lord." Well, that's what we're all doing here. That's what we're doing as a church. That's what we're gathering to do. We're gathering as a family of people who are today, this very moment, just gathered to sit and say, "What does Jesus have for us today?" That's who we are. That's what it means to be a part of the family of Christ. Come inside, sit around Jesus, so to speak, by faith, and then do the will of God. This is what it means to be the family of Christ, to do the will of God. Now, I think sometimes we read this passage and it's a it's a bit arresting to us because it sounds like we have to do something to be family. And I want to be clear about what I think this passage is teaching. Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And he looks around at those who are around him and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, those who do my Father's will, those who do the will of God." Those who do the will of God. So is that then a transaction where I do God's will and then I get in the family? You know? Like as a dad with some girls, thinking about the idea of some boys coming into our family. Oh man, I'm just trying to think of what that process is going to be like. What they're going to have to do. I don't know. Or is this like an initiation where if you'll just go through this process, if you'll go through this ceremony, if you'll do the will of God, if you'll do something, then you could be initiated in, you could be a part of the family, then you can do whatever you want. Then you'll just be in the family. Isn't that great? You'll get your name in the will. Wonderful. I want to be careful that I don't think Jesus is undermining the direction of the gospel in this passage. By saying, if you'll do really good, if you'll be really good, if you'll do God's will, you can be in the family too. You will, if you think that, you will immediately go home, unless you are dumb to yourself or totally unaware of yourself, go home and start to realize, I'm not very good at doing God's will. Am I good enough to be in the family? Right? That's Jesus just said, here's my family, those who do the will of God. Oh man, I don't know if I've done enough of it. I got to try to do some more of it. I'm going to go do some more of God's will. In fact, Christmas is a great time to start doing more of God's will. I'll be more generous. I'll be more benevolent. I'll be more kind. I'll be nicer. I'll say Merry Christmas like a good Christian. I'll do more of God's will. Then you'll wake up on January 1st and realize, I'm not that good at it. What does Jesus mean when he says, those who do the will of God, these are my mother and my brother and my sisters? I think what Jesus is kind of getting at is that this is what his family is known for. And this is what makes his family his family. There are some weird things that identify families, that families like to be identified for. My wife and I, we probably have our own things that we don't think are weird, but other people probably think it's weird that y'all's family do that. Like you named all your kids with the same first letter. Psychos. When we were dating, not yet engaged, one of my first times to go spend Christmas with Colette's family, this was kind of like a pre-engagement step to, I think, us getting married. It was Christmas season, and it was that moment I learned their family had been doing something since they were little. They would all wear matching pajamas at Christmas time and take a family picture. And that was one of those moments where I really had to weigh how I felt about this woman and our future, because I learned that I had been purchased pajamas as well so that I could be in this picture. And I realized if I put these things on, it's saying something. It's a commitment. I may as well just go buy a ring now because but if I decline, I'm telling them, I don't want to be a part of your family picture. It's kind of like saying, I don't want to be in the picture, if you know what I mean. So I wore those pajamas so fast. So here we are. That picture exists somewhere, I think. Maybe your family is known by how you decorate for Christmas or how you don't decorate for Christmas. Maybe your family is known by something negative. Maybe when you think about your family, you think about brokenness or generations who have all gone to jail or every generation of parents have divorced or every generation of our family has heart disease. That's what we're known for. We just keep passing down heart disease and cancer. That's us. What is Jesus' family known for? How will you know Jesus' family when you see them? It's not pajamas. Whoever does the will of God. I want you guys to know how to see Jesus' family. He's telling them, I want you guys, you're telling me that my family's outside. And you're identifying them the normal human way. But I want to teach you how to identify my family and who my family is. Here they are. It's the ones who are doing my Father's will. I think that's how Jesus means it. You want to find my family, find people who are doing God's will. And this is tying a bow on the whole chapter of Mark chapter 3. Demons have the right theology. The crowd has the right passion, but no knowledge of who Jesus is. The religious educators miss Jesus entirely. Jesus' family thinks that he's crazy. But these people sitting around him, they're with him. Jesus is doing God's will, and these people are following Jesus, and so finding themselves doing God's will. The first step of doing God's will, going back to point one, is coming inside and listening to the Son. The most important will of God for your life. I don't know what God has planned for your life. I don't know what you're going to get for Christmas. I don't know what 2026 is going to be like. But God's will for everyone is to come and sit and listen to Jesus. That's God's will for you. That's God's desire for you. To come and sit at the feet and to come inside and to listen to Jesus. That is what God wants. So Jesus looks at these people who are sitting around listening to him, and he says, these people, this is my family, they're doing God's will. And whoever does God's will, that's family. And what are they doing? That very moment, they're doing God's will by sitting down and listening to Jesus. That's the first thing to do. You want to start doing God's will, don't go write out yourself a checklist of things to do. Just write a list with one thing on it, and just do that. Come and listen to Jesus as God's Son. Come sit under his teaching. Come sit under him by faith. And you'll find yourself entering into the will of God. Hanging on Jesus' words. Dwelling on Jesus' life. Doing God's will is less a checklist to do this thing or that thing. And it really is pointing to a heart like God's heart. An intention like God's intention. A doing of what God intended us to do. A heart that is like God's will, not mine. You know, we have a little whiteboard at home at our house, and like a marker board, and it gets used for homeschool, gets used for all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it gets used as a place to put the checklist. I've used it for this. My wife has used it for this. It'll just write down, you know, like 10 things on it. You know, this is what we all need to get done today. Before you get to do anything you want to do. Mow the yard, clean the bathroom, do your chore, pick this up, whatever. It's just a checklist of things. And then after that, maybe we'll watch a movie, we'll go out and something, but this needs to all be done. And I think that's how, when we hear the will of God, that's what we think. I'll just make a checklist and just go do all those things, and then I'll be in the family. But there's two different ways to do this checklist. One of them is look at that checklist and immediately feel disdain for your father or your mother. You look at the list. Saturday. This is what we're doing? My parents don't even love me. They obviously don't care. They wouldn't have me doing this stuff all day. Go and do the whole checklist. Come back to me. I'm done. Is there anything else? My kids, they're never like this. My kids are never like this. That would be one way to respond to the checklist, to do the things, but do you think that's agreeing with the heart of the father or the mother in the home? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Just go out there and do the things. And then I'll let you in. No. This passage, when Jesus says those who do the will of God, he means those who are acting out God's desires. I look at what God wants, and I want that too. I look at those things that God is doing, that he's calling us to do, and that's what I want to do. I want to please him. Because I love him. I'm so thankful for him. So my will and his will are aligned. What he wants to do is what I want to do. Whatever he wants to do, that's what I want to do. Because his will, not my will. Will means to desire something or purpose something. God's will is not a checklist that you can do. It must first be a desire that you share. And that's what Jesus is getting at. What they want outside is to summon me and do their will. And I'm telling you, those who are my family are those who are sitting in here who want to do God's will. They want to submit to God's will. They love to see Him as Father and them as children and servants. That's what they're doing. By being inside and listening, they're showing their hearts had softened and their hearts were in faith and their hearts were ready to listen, eager to follow, eager to submit to a loving Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray as followers of Christ, as we're taught, our Father, who art in heaven. And how did Jesus summarize every prayer that we ought to ever pray? Our Father who art in heaven, your will be done. What do you want, God? That's what I want. What am I praying for? Listen, I don't know if you prayed recently. Sometimes it's hard to even know what to pray for. What I want, I mean, oh my goodness, from hour to hour, just shifts all over the place. Here's what you can pray. God, I want to do your will. Help me do that. That's what it means for Jesus is saying, this is who is in the family of Christ. Those who have come by faith and recognize Him and share the heart, I want to do God's will. I'm not standing outside trying to submit Jesus to my will. My prayer is, Father, your will be done. Come in. Sit at Jesus' feet. Listen to Him. Join in doing God's will. And in so doing, come to enjoy being a part of the family of Christ. Come inside, sit before Jesus' feet, seek to do, align your heart with His heart, do His will, whatever it might be, and then enjoy being a part of the family of Christ. What we do is who we are. As a church, as Christians, who we are is what we are to do. We are, you know, we're not Christians. We're not a pajama family. We're not just a church-going family. We're a doing the will of God family. And it's our joy to do the will of God. It's what we want to do. Our hearts and His hearts are aligned. Just stop and think if I might need to recategorize some things that I'm doing from just doing the will of God because I'm a part of the family to maybe shifting my heart to going, these are opportunities to grow in doing the will of God as family. I mean, when we gather as a church, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? It's just a bunch of Christians gathering together saying, let's try to do God's will. Let's listen to what His Word says and try to do His will. My friends, when you go to Bible study together with your in life group or your one-on-one discipleship, what are we doing? We're sitting around together and submitting ourselves together to God's will. Going, hey, what's God's will for us? Let's try to do it. Let's pray for each other and help each other do that. How's your marriage going? Let's try to do God's will in our marriage. How's your parenting going? Those are really rough. Let's try to do God's will in our marriage and in our children and enjoy it. Think about the words we use around this place as a church. Church family meal. Church family meeting every 2 months. Do we just mean, you know what, the church, we want it to feel like a family? Right? Is that what we mean when we use those words? We want to create a familial atmosphere. where we just call each other brother and sister, and we feel good. It feels like family. And we get to feel like a family time. Or is it saying, family, let's get together? You see the difference? We're not just trying to create a familial experience. We're saying there's a family meeting. Family, see you at the family meeting. Church, we're going to have a meal. It's a family meal. Family, come together. When your grandmother calls you and says, we're doing family Christmas dinner on Thursday at noon, do you just go, well, I mean, it doesn't really feel like family? No, no, you don't. You say, yes, ma'am, I will see you. We are family. We're not trying to be family. We're not trying to feel like family. The church is family. The church is family. You're stuck. You are just stuck with it. You are family. You believe in Christ. You're following Christ. You're trusting Christ. We're not trying to become family or create a familiar atmosphere. We are family. I just want to encourage you to look at the church like that. To look at the people who are sitting around you, supposedly sitting around the feet of Jesus, and going, we are family. Doesn't matter how much you feel like they're family. They are family if they're sitting around Christ together with you. Is that how you think? I just wonder if there are people there sitting around Jesus who, when he said, here is my family, there had to have been some people that went, what? What? And then look at the person next to him and go, well, I found the weird uncle. He's right here. Black sheep. Here I am. I'm here. I'm that guy in the family. Oh, we're all the black sheep. But you look around at each other and start to realize, oh, this is the family. The family is outside calling, and Jesus just called me family and him family and her family. Don't just make your time together when you do gather about hanging out together. Be more jealous for it. Protect it more on your calendar, knowing and recognizing this is family time. This is family. So instead of trying to make it like family, recognize that it is family and treat it like family. And I want to encourage you, by enjoying the family of Christ, beware of the idolatry of your earthly family. Beware of the idolatry of your earthly family. One of the surest ways to ruin your family is to make your Christmas about family instead of trying to lead your family to Christ. And we have a sentence in our membership covenant that is strange now that we think about it in light of Mark 3. Part of our covenant to one another is we will seek the salvation of our family. We will seek the salvation of our family. We recognize that our family is not family. There's some of our family members who are not family. Some of our kids, some of our parents, some of our siblings, maybe our spouse, who are in our family, and we're going to spend Christmas with them potentially, but they're not family. And so we're going to actually seek their salvation. We're going to actually call them to come from the outside to the inside. Make sure that you don't make your family an idol by thinking, that's my family, and all of my Christian family is second tier. The church is just a place that I go, not a people that I am, not a family that I am. Be careful about that. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. And you got to put that in context, because, you know, that's really what Christmas is about, peace on earth, right? But in one sense, Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against his mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Which I always thought wasn't saying much, because, those in-law relationships, are already tough. Not mine, all mine are amazing. 36, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Make sure that you don't make an idol of your family. I don't care if they're Christians. It doesn't matter. What I really want this Christmas is just get together and take a picture. I want our clothes to match. I want everyone here at the same time. And we're gonna look like a family, experience family, and we're gonna be like a family supposed to be. We're gonna feel the warmth, and we're gonna make some memories, and we're gonna miss Christ. Think about where you're gonna spend your days and your hours, your schedule. It's a tough balance. I feel this in my home, a tough balance between my kids need my attention, my life, my investment, and play together. Go to the yard and sit by the fire together. Go to the golf range. Go to Starbucks or Starbucks. Whatever. And that, and the other emphasis of, I need to make sure my kids know they're not God. And they're not the center of my life. We want to see them, and we want to see others come to Christ. I want them to see me spending time with men in the church. I want this to see their mother going to church and spending time with women in the church, recognizing you guys are our family and God has given you to us. But there's another family. It's different. There's another family that's forever. This family is not forever. But the family of Christ is. Think about your time with your family. Think about your priority of your family. You actually don't serve your family well by making it an idol over the family of Christ. You actually do a disservice to your family by putting Christ out of order and putting his family out of order. Be careful that you don't find yourself standing on the outside by the way you treat your local earthly family. If you have no earthly family that you can say, that's my family, you know, that's just not a temptation for you. Making an idol of your family? What are you talking about? I don't have a family. Or the family that I do have, I don't really like to call them family. I'm sure I ain't going over there for Christmas. I haven't talked to them in years. I just want you to be encouraged if you're feeling that pain or you're feeling that loss. It's not just a feels like family to be a part of the church. It's not just what it feels like. It to be a Christian and to follow Christ is to actually have the family of Christ. It actually is to have family. You have a better family than those who have the most picturesque family you can imagine, but they don't know Jesus. It's a better family. It's a forever family. And church members, think about those this year that don't have family. Think about those through the year that don't have family at home. You know, there's a card that we gave you when you came in today. Church Family Christmas. Came with you with your worship guide. This is just a little card for our Sunday. Church Family Christmas. We call it that because it's pretty low-key. It's just our folks reading and singing and getting together and praising Christ. Maybe you want to give this to someone and they don't have family. Maybe you know that. Maybe you just give it to a stranger at HEB today or at your restaurant or wherever you're out and about. And say, listen, our church family is getting together to do this kind of little Christmas thing. We're going to sing some songs and it's just kind of a church family Christmas service. And you might, unbeknownst to yourself, give that to someone who doesn't have a family. And go, oh, that's different. Maybe I'll go. You never know. You never know. One way to evangelize with this card is to ask someone, do you have a family that you're going to spend time with Christmas? Oh man, you don't? Well, I want to invite you to come with my family. You can invite them to your actual home, and you can invite them to our Christmas service. And if someone says to you, yeah, I have a wonderful family, a big family, a bunch of cousins, just one-up them and say, I got a better family. Trust me, my family is better than yours. It's my church family. We can be careful. And then invite them to come and see what your family's like. Really, As we think about this, I think what Jesus is doing here in this passage is pointing us to those who will be with Him ultimately in heaven. The more I've read Revelation, the more I've thought about heaven, the more I see it all through Scripture and how so much of what Jesus is doing and saying is pointing us there. Mark chapter 1 through 3, in the book of Mark, Jesus has come preaching the kingdom of God, saying the kingdom is here. And then, surprise, those who are followers of Jesus also get called family. The kingdom citizens are also family under the Father of God. This forever kingdom, this forever family, is something that we can hold on to as forever. It's all over the place through Scripture. It's in weird places like Revelation 13, 18, through chapter 14, verse 1. Place you wouldn't think about Christmas, place you might not think about family. But do you know what the opposite in the end times, and not to unlock this beast, pun intended, right here at the end of the sermon. Do you know what the opposite of having 666 mark in the end times is? What's the opposite of being under the control of the beast, under Satan's power, and having 666 written on you, taking the mark of the beast? Do you know what the opposite of that is? Listen to Revelation 13. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is a number of man, and his number is 666. And take the mark. His number is 666. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, Jesus, and with him 144,000, representing the sealed saved. And what did they have? They don't have the mark of the beast. They had his name, the Lamb's name, and his Father's name written on their foreheads. You want to know the opposite of evil and 666? Is being in God's family. Having Father written on your heart instead of standing outside telling Jesus what to do. In Mark chapter 3, in verse 5, Jesus looked around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart of the Pharisees. He looked around at them with anger, grieved that they were hard towards him. Not dissimilar, I think, toward those who were outside the house, beckoning him, summoning him. I think between the outside of the house and the inside of the house, there's a picture of the distinction between heaven and hell. Heaven on the inside, and hell on the outside. Hell is the experience. I don't come in and sit under Jesus' teaching. I don't submit to Him. I'm not a part of the family. I don't do the will of God. I don't want to do the will of God. I don't have His desires. I don't recognize Him as my Father. I wish He would just do what I want and say and do what I say. Standing outside summoning. That's hell. But inside, a little picture of heaven. We're far better than any Christmas morning you could ever experience with any family here on this earth. There will be a day when we walk not into this room, but we cross the door, the threshold, into eternity itself, into heaven. And Jesus looks around at those who are with Him and says, "Here is my mother and my brothers and my sisters." Oh, that you would be a part of that family. Oh, that you would not be destined forever in hell apart from Christ and His family because you rejected Him. But you would submit your will and faith that He is God's Son. That He was crucified for your sins. Isn't it wonderful to know that He was crucified so that those who don't do the will of God can be forgiven through His blood and come to be a part of His own family? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time today to come and sit and hear your word. And we pray, God, that as we've heard it, you would help us hear it not only with our ears, but in our hearts and our minds, and apply it by your Holy Spirit. You know ways that we need to be encouraged. You know ways that we need to be convicted. Would you now, Father, by your Spirit, help us reflect on the things that we've sung and prayed, the things that we've heard preached this morning, that we might leave here convicted and encouraged according to your will. Father, we love you. We pray that you would help us. Help us treat those around us like family. Remember them. Remember each other. Remembering that you remembered us. You loved us. You granted us to be your children through Christ. And so help us, Father, to enjoy it. Enjoy it. And help continue to, as we are sanctified and grow as Christians, increasingly align our hearts and our wills with your wills. Father, please convict us. Please show us if there's any way we're standing outside summoning you to our will rather than bending our will to yours. We love you, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. What a joy to be together today and to hear God's word and to hear the saints sing and to fellowship together as a family. Amen.